regarding the great discoveries sent out to Discovery Club. I thought about wearing a blindfold up here, but then I thought I'd do the nasty plunge over three chairs, and it would not be good. We're going to look at a passage today that is deceptive and yet deep. Well, I would kind of put us in the context of where we'll be. Begin to think about your life and today, and it's basically just another day. It's not a bad day, not a good day, it's just another day. You get up, you've got rest, you made your way here. Where we're going to find ourselves on our second day is just another day in Jericho. It's not Nashville, it's not Franklin, it's very different, beautiful city, palm trees, little oasis down on the valley there in a very, very dry area. But it's just another day. We're going to meet a man who is blind and a beggar. And those two words are really one in life. If you're blind, you're a beggar. And if you're a beggar, it's because something is broken sufficiently in your life that you can't perform, operate, live as you might normally do. This man we finds himself just like you did this morning on just another day. He got up, I could imagine, and I project a little as I read in the text, and he knew it was so many steps in this direction and so many steps in that direction and so many steps in that direction, and he finally finds himself on a road in Jericho. He'd been there before. He'd worked himself there again. It's not a bad place. In fact, this is a pretty good spot to hang out. Jericho is a busy city. Let me just characterize it. It's a traffic town. It's an oasis. It's a major center of taxation. Many of the Levites that serve in the temple live in Jericho. This is a home. So it's a religious center, it's a political center, it's an economic center, it's a busy town. Travelers come and go to this place. So he's got him a spot along this road. Not a bad place. You know, this blind man, along with people like deaf people, God has a heart for them. Let me read you some of God's clear protection. Just don't turn this listen, it'll be on the screen if you want to follow along. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 14. God specifically directed, "You shall not curse a deaf man." Now just think for a moment, he can't hear you. "You don't come to a man in his weakness and attack him." You don't do that. And you don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man who couldn't see the stumbling block you put there. You don't do that. God speaks directly to this. Why? You revere your God. It's like Yahweh. Powerful words for blind and for deaf. Deuteronomy 27, 18. This blind man who sits by the road today would have these verses in his life. "Accursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road." All the people would say, this is true. God curses those who mislead. This man has some protection in his life, but bottom line, here in Jericho, he's blind. A city filled with commerce, taxation, religion, but it's just another day in the life of a beggar. He's made his way down to this road we come by in Jericho. He's found him a spot. If you've ever been around beggars, he's looking for basically a couple of things. Some coins or some produce. If from people that pass by. Something you would contribute to him. If you've been downtown Nashville and the guy with the guitar, it's not a lot different. You just, guy in Jericho doesn't wear boots. So here he is, stashed along this road. Don't want to lose context with our study, for we're going to find ourselves in a passage where a blind man sits along the road. In the preceding passage, we looked at a man who could see. In fact, he had all the riches of the world, but he was blind to life. This is the exact opposite, as Luke puts together the story of the power of Jesus Christ. This guy is blind. He's bound in a darkness, but it's not as dark as the man we saw in the previous study who thought he could see. And this man is set before us. Why he can't see, well, we don't know. Luke doesn't record that. But in actuality, as we look at our text, he's probably got better vision than most people. A blind man here in Jericho, and it's just another day. He's sitting there, and I could imagine hearing some scurry women coming in the morning bringing water back from the well. The noise, you hear the sounds. Can't see, but a man who lives in touch and sound, he picks up on this. He sits alongside this road and he hears the clomp of a donkey as they're hauling in produce. I sit outside the Damascus Gate even as a few years ago and watched donkeys come in with produce strapped to their back, and you can hear the clomp on the rocks as they haul in produce. He hears this. He may well have smelt the camels that are there. Camels are somewhat like following a diesel truck. They leave you with a distinct odor, okay? And they're loaded with produce. So the guy is not oblivious, but he's blind. Get the picture. Get this man's feel on this. So he sits along the road, and in the midst of the things that surround him, he's crying out, alms, alms, alms for the poor, and seeking to gain some coins and gain some crumbs. And it's just another day in Jericho. You get the feel for it? Just like your day. It's just, you're going about the things you do. This just happens to be a blind man. Don't seem radically different from where you sit this morning. Just another day in Jericho. Living by sound, living by touch, all this commotion caught his attention. So if you have your Bible, make your way to Luke chapter 18. We're in verse 35 here. The noise of the morning is a little different, and he picks up on it. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Jesus is approaching Jericho. And you could well imagine from previous studies there's probably an entourage with him. So he's coming along. Blind man is sitting by the road begging. Now Luke expands our context. I want you to see this scene, verse 36. Hearing the crowd going by, he began to inquire, what's this noise I hear? What's all this commotion coming down the road? I hear the clatter of things and the sound of voices. What is this? They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Get the scene? I want you to feel this just a moment. A little, can you be existential and still be a Christian? Let's just get a little feely here this morning. Feel this. Jesus is passing by, and you're blind, sitting by the road, just another day out to gather some coins and some crumbs of life. Doing the things that you do because of where you are. And think for a moment as you read this text. We're probably not in the exact spot. We're not a blind beggar. But we're often sitting where we are today, even here in church, paralyzed by something that's disabled us. Something that's debilitated us. We come in here and there's things disturbing us. And there's things defeating us. And here we sit. Today, in the middle of the traffic and the noise around us. things that are draining us today. You haven't told the person next to you, and no one else in this room knows, because God forbid in this culture we'd let anyone ever know that we have a problem in our life, you know, because we're so sufficient. We're Americans. You know, we're guaranteed success. But something's disturbing you today, draining you today. And here you sit. Just another day. Might even be just another day in church where you wandered in and found your spot. Some of you always sit in the same spot, too. Have you noticed that? Right wingers and left wingers are all here. Same spot. Spots are our initials in some of those seats. It's just another day. There's clatter around me. Kids just went out to Discovery Club. Did you get stomped on? No. The noise, it's happening, but I'm not really paying attention, but something's going on. Something's crippling in my life and holding me down, and yet there's something out there. Maybe the Spirit of God is stirring me this morning, and you listen to this text. I just thought, what if Jesus went down the aisle? What if he walked down this aisle? Or he walked down this aisle? Or he came over and sat with you guys, just right back there by Audrey, that empty seat? I want you to let your mind's eye wander just a second. Jesus is going to take that chair. What would it be like? If you're in this situation, what would you do if you heard some noise and in your blindness of what's disturbing you today, someone said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. What would you do? What would you do? Some of you haven't moved since you came in here. My God. Maybe our lives are so together and so comfortable that we really don't, it doesn't make any difference that Jesus of Nazareth goes by. Does it? Is anyone out there? Does it?
Yes.
Yeah, it makes a difference. But I look at this passage and I look at our lives often so consumed with things and playing with the toy that's in your hand and clamoring for another one to replace that one. What would you do if Jesus walked by? Because he does walk by. And he does in this text. We don't want to be like our disciples in our passage, because remember them from the previous study? That's an ugly question, isn't it? That calls you to think that. They're confused. They're not sure about this Jesus. They can't put together who he is. But this man who is blind, who sits by the road, who hears sounds and says, hey, what's the noise? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is going by. This guy can see more than the disciples can see. Amazing. In blindness? He doesn't see a man passing by. He sees a Messiah passing by. Get your Bible? Look back here at verse 38. The cry in this context. He says, and he doesn't say it softly, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Would he amp it up a little? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cries out from his spot. Now, you don't want to miss your Bible, because who'd they tell him is going by? Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't ask for Jesus of Nazareth. He calls out for someone else. He sees in blindness something that those in the crowd don't see. The crowd just sees Jesus of Nazareth, this rogue rabbi that's covering the countryside, doing his thing. He doesn't see that. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, wondering how he came to know this, Luke doesn't fill us in. Again, this town in which he resides is filled with commerce and travelers and business and all kinds of issues. He's a probably heard something, but this Son of Man title is clearly messianic. It tips us that this blind man, through what he has heard of the Word of God through his life, and I assure you he has heard it out of the First Testament, the Hebrew Scripture, he has come to know there's a promise of God that is filled in a person of God who is a Messiah of God, and he believes it's this Jesus, Son of David. I'd love to know how he heard this. Maybe that major hub had filled him in, but it hadn't given him information. It had changed his heart, changed his life. We should probably recall in our own thinking as we come to this text that these are exactly the things Jesus was saying about his own life. If we were to turn back to Luke chapter 4, pick up at verse 18, when Jesus spoke the very first time there in Nazareth, he was given a scroll. He turned to Isaiah, opened the scroll of Isaiah, and read from Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim, preach the good news of this gospel, this message to the poor. He's sent me to proclaim release to these captives. He's called me to uncover the sight for blind people." Amazing text. "Set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." This is his ministry. This is exactly what he told John the Baptist, who was questioning who he was. Luke chapter 7, verse 22. This is the word about Jesus and the word of his promise. He's heard this somewhere. We want to see, as we watch this blind man and his cry for help, but his cry is built on the hope of what God's word had to say. He's called for Jesus of Nazareth. No, he's called for Jesus the Messiah. And he turns to this. Did our blind beggar connect all the dots? I suspect as I read this, he didn't. But he knows enough to know that God's word has promised a deliverer. That deliverer has accomplished great things, and I suspect he's heard them. And he brings a kingdom, and he is the king, and he is the deliverer, and he is the Messiah, and he is the Son of David. If you were this blind beggar, think again of this situation, this scene we've kind of projected ourselves into. What would you do sitting by the road on this day, sitting where you sit this day, and Jesus passes by? Should I just pause for you to ponder? Gonna blink another time? Blink. Take another note. What would you do if Jesus the Messiah was passing by? Or would you just sit comfortably and give the nod and watch him walk? Well, our blind man doesn't just sit comfortably. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me in my brokenness. Go back to your Bible, verse 39. The story unfolds. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. Restrain him. Why? It doesn't say. Maybe like the disciples who didn't want the children brought to Jesus. He's got too many things to do. We don't have time for Jesus to stop and talk to day in, day out beggars who just sit by the road. I mean, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I don't have time to pull over every time I see a beggar parked beside the road. Do you? Every time you see someone in need, do you have time? I've got things to do and places to go and people to see. I suspect that's what was going on here. But he kept crying out, Luke tells us, all the more. It's subtle. The New American Standard does a good job if you pay attention to your words. In verse 38, He called out. It's a softer word than the word here, where he cried out. Let me suggest it is amped up. He's not slowed down. He's raised the volume a little bit. He's crying out in this passage, "Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm in need. I'm not going to let him walk by. I'm not going to let him walk by." Is there anything worse than blindness, though? Think a moment. Yeah. Way worse than blindness is thinking you can see and allow the Son of God to walk past you. That is the most dangerous, deep, and darkest place you can be. He's not there. So we've read some of the context. We've heard some of his cry. Jesus now brings a command. You have your Bible? Verse 40. Jesus stopped and said, "Hey, I think I got a little bit of time here. Let's cut him some slack." And no, he gave an order. He commanded. Don't miss the word. He stopped. He commanded, "Bring him to me." This is the command of Jesus. Let me paint the picture that the Son of Man walking by stops for someone who calls to him and says, "Help me, Son of Man." Don't miss that. If you do not understand the grace of God, it is unbelievably potent in that passage. A blind beggar sitting by the road looking for a few coins and a few crumbs. "Who are you?" "I'm the Son of God on a trip, man." But he stops for the one who calls to him. "Bring him to me." I love this text. When he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And you go, "Well, that's like kind of obvious. He's blind. I mean, you'd have to be slow to not pick up on that." Let me tell you, that's not obvious. That is not obvious in this text. What he asked for is outlandish in this text. What he asked for in this text is unheard of in this text. It is impossible in life. I have asked Jesus for something that everyone around me thinks can never happen in my life. You understand this? Don't see this as just some obvious question that is thrown up. Nothing ever happens like this. You would never even make the request unless you know the one to whom you've called. And he's called. No one touches blindness but the Messiah. No one. But what if it weren't blindness? Because I saw him blink. Okay, we got some blinkers, so it's not blindness. I look at this text. What if you were there and Jesus asked you, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" What if he asked you that question? "What do you want me to do for you?" Think just a moment. He's passed by. "Where do I need you to touch my life, Lord?" Too many times Jesus walks by and we sit in our self-sufficiency and our arrogance and our pride and our pomp. I was going to say poop, but they recorded, so I can't say that. We sit at the wrong things and never speak to the Savior. Where do you need to be confident in your life today? Where do you need to find comfort in your life today? Where's the brokenness in your life today? Where's the things that are berating you in your life today? Where's the things that's hurting your heart? Your barrenness, your singleness, your job, the person you're married to. What's pulling on you today? Who would you talk to Jesus about the parent that you have today, or the child that you have today, or the job that you have today? What if Jesus passed by and he said, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? Or would you just sit there like the proverbial bump on a log? Our blind man doesn't sit there. Some of us have health problems. Some of us have habit problems. Some of us have home problems. Some of us have hurt problems. What would you ask Jesus to do? Too many times in life, then and now, we call out to Jesus, but we turn to the world's ways every time. We, oh, Jesus, but we turn back to immodesty so people will give us attention. And we live stylish. That's how we pull our eyes to the world. We turn to immorality. It is so common. But it's not intimacy that we call for. We missed what Jesus has. In our culture, cohabitation has risen to an all-time high. But as it unfolds, it's the avoidance of commitment. It's consumerism at its finest. It's the culture. Well, everybody does that. I don't want to make a commitment because a commitment means I have responsibility. You know, you can't be one flesh without a commitment. Let me go further with that. You cannot love and be loved without a commitment. It doesn't happen without commitment. We live in a culture that we call out to Jesus, but then we move in with our boyfriend, girlfriend, other friend, because we think that has the answer. We called out to Jesus. Did you really call out to Jesus? Amazing. What would Jesus do? Too often caught in the blindness of a world. Just as no one can touch blindness except the Messiah, no one can touch your life with the peace that you want today, the hope that you want today, the love that you need today, the direction that you want to set a course for that travels through life with substance and value and purpose other than this Messiah. I remember when I came to Christ, again, I love old Indian phrases, many moons ago. I was taken under the wing of some navigators. It's an old group. They kind of waned a little, but they're still stout. One of them used to beat me, remind me regularly with the truth that only things done for Christ will last. All other things will soon be past. And if he said that to me once, he said that to me 100,000 times. It stuck. What do you want Jesus to do in your life that lasts? Because all other things will soon be past. What do you want the Savior to do? Jesus turns to this man. He says to you this morning, I don't want you to sit here asleep. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And he speaks to us. One of the key reasons that we trust Jesus so much is because he is so committed to us. Word of God unfolds this amazing commitment. He came to bring sight to blind people. And I mean more than just your eyes. He came to bear the sin of this world so we can have a life that belongs to God and last of quality and substance. Not of things that are soon past. one of the key reasons we fail to see Jesus, because we are so committed to ourselves, and our words are often as vaporous as our breath. Oh, Jesus, and then we turn again, I said, to the things of the world. And we don't hear what this Savior has. We sit by the road of life, whether it's a job or home or school, and all we're looking is for the coins and the crumbs that they throw out, because we think that's going to fill our bucket with something of value. It has no value. And at best, it will last for a fleeting moment. And it's gone. He brings more than that. Well, let's look again at our text. Luke chapter 18, verse 42. This passage to see what a blind man, a bizarre man, who would ask someone, "I want to see." I'm just amazed. Don't see that as obvious. Let me say it again. This is the most impossible, unheard of thing you could ask. So I want to challenge you to not pass Jesus without asking him for the impossible thing in your life today. For the heart that you want to have. The purpose that you want to have. The glory of God that you want to have. Verse 42. To this guy who asked, to whom Jesus has stopped and called for him, Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following. And following in Luke is a call to discipleship. And as I sent among some of our guys this week, we made a fundamental mistake in Christianity, for we have separated evangelism and discipleship into two things, and they are one thing. God didn't call people to just get saved. He didn't send Jesus for you to just get saved. He sent Jesus for you to be predestined to be conformed to his image by walking with him. Those two go together. So this following is not an accident. He's following him, obeying him, walking with him. Interesting, this blind man, I like to kind of fuss with a passage. Can you imagine being blind? Just shut your eyes a minute. I got mine shut. Shut your eyes. When your eyes pop open, pow, first thing I see, you. First thing he saw was Jesus. His eyes opened. Do you know that he had seen the person of Jesus before he had seen the face of Jesus? Isn't that amazing? We have people today who cannot see the person of Jesus because of the blindness in their life. They can't see. You know, seeing the person of Jesus doesn't have to do with eyes. It has to do with faith. Amazing in this passage. This blind beggar trusted this Jesus, turned to him, found him fully sufficient for something that no one would ever say could happen in your life. Jesus, here's what I need in my life, and I'm putting my confidence in you. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." Amazing passage. Well, immediately there is this glorifying God, it says in our text. Because God is being demonstrated in this man's life. And all the people saw it. They began to give praise. They gave praise to God. Remember, it's not eyes that see. It's faith that sees. One of these days, just think ahead. One of these days, we will see face to face Jesus Christ. We live in a world that works with unbelieving sophistication and unbelieving power to cause us to be desperately shrouded from this truth and perpetually deceived by things that call us away. But one of these days, we'll see Jesus face to face. At that time, every knee will bow, the text says, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Messiah to the glory of God. This blind man saw this day. This power for Jesus is not just then, it is now. It's for everyone who recognizes the blindness in their life. Let me encourage you this morning to, no pun intended, see your own blindness and hear that this Savior is present, who is both merciful and sufficient and available and will stop when you call to Him. Jesus, you are able. His word will guide you when you walk with Him. We sing a song here regularly that says, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see Jesus." This is where it's happening. I love reading our culture into the text. I probably shouldn't do that. Did you notice in your Bible, no one ever asking, "How'd you become blind?" No one ever asking that. No one ever asking, "Hey, what happened to you?" No one ever. Did you get a doctor to check that? No one ever asking that question. Do you know why? Because if you got the answer, it doesn't do anything. Let me say that again. If you got the answer to your question, it doesn't do anything. If I told you exactly why, what's going on in your life, exactly why, it doesn't do anything. You look at the text, we fail to realize who Jesus is because we're more concerned about what has happened. Jesus is concerned about what's going to happen with new life in our life. We look for the lesser. We're always asking how and why and when and where and what and all those questions that, really? All you're then is informed in your brokenness. What does that do to change life? 0.0. Nothing. If you could tell him exactly why he was blind. What makes a difference is not how you become blind, or how you were broken, or how you were abused, or how you were hurt, or what happened. What makes a difference is coming to faith in this Savior and how He's going to work in your life when you call to Him and He gives you a new sight, a new life with which you can walk, listening to His authority and His will and His word, and not the words of the world. This is the call. And this is important. And it comes through faith in this Savior. Jesus' concern is about what's going to happen in your life. And He stops. And He has mercy today. Mercy for the outlandish. Mercy for the impossible. Mercy for the things that have ravaged your heart. He's there and He's sufficient. And He is here for us today. I want you to think on this passage. What would you like to ask Jesus? Believing in His power, like this blind man. Believing His touch on your life, His purpose in your life, His wisdom in your life. Is so much what we need. What would you ask Him? Be quiet in just a second, because I want you to talk to Jesus, not just listen to me. Jesus, where I sit and what I'm trying to see, I need life from You to see. Give me that, I pray. So that I can walk with You just like this blind man. Bring hope into my life because You are the Messiah. Not Jesus of Nazareth. You're the Son of Man. Let me admonish you to not sit by the road today hoping for more coins and more crumbs from life. They will never supply what this Jesus supplies. All the coins and all the crumbs, remember our previous, you know, I talk about context. Some of you got numb when I said that word. The guy before, he had all the coins and all the crumbs. He was blind, for he did not see life. This blind man has no coins and no crumbs, but he can see the truth of life. Let me tell you from this text, Jesus is presently healed. Understand that from the Word of God. He stops for the one who calls to him and says, I need you in my life. I need you in this hurt. I need you in this hole. I need you to help me. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear what you have for me. He is the promised Messiah, Luke is telling us, over and over and over. He is God's provision for all the brokenness in our life, all the holes in our life, all the emptiness in our life, so we can have purpose and value and worth. Enjoy the relationship that he has. Let me just ask you again. Do you see Jesus today? If you walk down the aisle, and I am persuaded by the Spirit of God he does, from your heart and my heart, what would you ask Jesus? Right here, right now, today. If you are sitting blank, God help you to open your eyes. God helps us initially because God loves us so much he gave a son. In fact, the text David alluded to, 2 Corinthians 5, says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. It's through faith. If you've never done that and you're here this morning, you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus, let me encourage you to do that now. For it will open your eyes, open your heart, it'll open your marriage, it'll open your relationships, it'll open your purpose, and you'll walk with Jesus in a new way that you've never seen before. Not in the blindness that begs us to call out. Have you called? Should I stop? Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for loving us who are so blind. Thank you for being patient with us who often just sit thinking we can handle this day. Forgive us for our arrogance. Freshen our hearts with the news of Jesus who does not just pass by but who will stop when we call to him. Jesus,
the last thing. There's a blind side.
Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for knowing us. Thank you for being sufficient for us. Thank you for loving us. Help us to be like a blind man who gained sight. Help us to be followers of Jesus.